Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, and I'm Beth Banks, and I'm the senior minister for this congregation, and it is a real pleasure to be here this morning.
Good morning. I'm Grania Grant, the worship associate for this morning, and we're so glad that you're here with us today.
Welcome to this sacred space, where we know what we do not think. We know that we do not need to think alike, to love alike, where we know that the questions we share are key to growing. This is a community where we know it takes everyone to make everyone free. Regardless of whom you love and where you come from, you are welcome here. Whether you are pagan, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, or none of the above, or something else entirely, you are welcome here. We know that the things that make you special are both visible and invisible and are valued. Here, where we strive to cultivate the spirit and serve one another in our search for justice, we welcome you. To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts, whether in our society or personally. And we light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope, and the moments of celebration.
Today's chalice lighting is called The Beauty Woven Fine. It's from Soul Matters. As we celebrate life's beauty, may we never forget that we are part of it. It is woven not only around us, but through us. We are here to notice those elegant strands, the way they call to us, hold us, and connect us. May today enable that beauty to shine.
From time to time, our quilting group comes together to sew these beautiful quilts that we give to some of the boys at Progress Ranch. It's a little sign of our care and thought for them, as they're going through some time where a little bit more support is necessary. So we have two quilts today. One is for Brody and one is for Anthony. And Anthony is here with some friends. Would you like to come on down and join us here at our quilts? Brody, who is not here today, is 10 and he loves sports and his favorite colors are red, purple, and orange, so you can see this one right here on my right. Your left is for Brody. Brody loves watching professional wrestling. He loves singing and bulldogs, so we have some of his favorite things here on his quilt. And then this one is for Anthony. Anthony's also 10. His favorite color is red, just red. One of his favorite sports team is the Golden State Warriors. I'm so sorry, Anthony. I'm sure there are plenty of people here who are mourning along with you. When Anthony grows up, he wants to play football or basketball. He loves video games, playing outside, and music. So we are very glad to have some of Anthony's favorite things on his quilt as well. If we could, before we say the words of blessing, could you all just put your hands together and rub them real nice and warm, get some energy and light and warmth. We're going to pre-warm these quilts for the boys, and let's direct that energy here to send your love and care and warmth to them. And now we're going to ask folks, if you feel comfortable, to please rise and come join us and lay hands here on these quilts, or to touch someone who is laying hands on this quilt. We're going to use the power of love to bless these quilts for these boys. We're keeping in mind Brody and Anthony. These quilts were stitched together with hands that believe in the power of love. These quilts were sewn with hands that know the power of giving a gift. All these colors and these designs come from those who know that beauty is how we put the world together. Whatever the world has placed before us, may these boys know that life can be made strong and creative no matter what we are given in life. It is possible to take pieces of goodness and make a whole that was previously unimagined. May this beautiful work of art bring dreams of play, learning, hope, and caring. A blessing on this quilt and the hands that made it, and the boys who will see them on their beds every day and every night. Blessing. Amen. So we're going to let the boys and their friends take these quilts home, put them on their beds to remember that there are people and there are beautiful things that care and love them.
This reading is from the Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt, the president of Star King School for the Ministry. There have always been people of faith like us. We are the people who sought a religion marked by freedom and reason and acceptance, in addition to faith and hope and love. Our forebears are martyrs who died for religious freedom, ministers who preached that no one is damned to hell or outside the reach of divine love, thinkers who taught us that no spiritual tradition has a monopoly on wisdom, and activists who focused our attention on bettering this world rather than placing our hope in the afterlife. We stand in a grand and glorious stream of faith, always flowing toward freedom, justice, and love of the world. We are called by our faith to respond to the world, its sorrows as well as its joys. We are often heartbroken about the state of the world, but never truly in despair. We who are privileged to be part of this liberal faith have inherited an extraordinary legacy. We have been given the gift of freedom to believe or to doubt, the gift of reason to consider what we know of life and compare it to the timeless wisdom from other cultures. We have received powerful examples of courage in the service of humanity and of a love that encompasses all of life. These are treasures, but they are not ours to keep. They are only enriching each of us if we give them away again and again. Because of these religious values, Unitarian Universalists have always sparked social change far out of proportion to our actual numbers. We have been instrumental in the abolition of slavery, women's suffrage, the civil rights movement, the movement for LGBTQ rights, and the fight for economic and environmental justice, among other things. By no means are we perfect. We often fail as much as we succeed. Yet even when we have broken our vows 1,000 times, we return to this essential work of justice and liberation for all. We do the work best when we remember what church is and what it is not. Church is not a place to hide. It is not the place to get away from the world. It is not a place where we get to pretend that the lives we live and our particular situations are not terribly complex, often confusing, and sometimes depressing. Church is the place where we stand with one another, look the world in the eye, attempt to see clearly, and gather strength to face what we see with courage, and yes, with joy.
A few weeks ago, I had to run into the office real quick. So I called a car through a ride-sharing service. I got in the car to find that my driver was an old-school cowboy type. He had calloused hands and a leathery face, and he talked about how he grew up on a farm here in Yolo County. He was just a generation removed from the Dust Bowl. His deep, gravelly voice had just a hint of a southern twang if you listened close enough. He told me stories about how he used to drive gas tankers. And he talked about how after his parents died, his brother decided to sell the family farm. And how even in retirement, he needed to work gig jobs to help make ends meet. Our conversation was cordial, and we were able to find some common ground. My own grandfather, my dad's dad, had also made a career out of driving trucks. And as the descendant of Dust Bowlers myself, he reminded me a lot of my great aunties who live in a small cottage in Wessac, just on the edge of a rapidly expanding town. In many ways, this man felt like family. And as we pulled up to the church, he grumbled a bit. It was low. I admit my stomach dropped. I was not sure what that meant. And then he mutters to himself, Black Lives Matter. I kind of wish they said all lives matter. And I froze. I knew I had about 5 seconds to figure out what I was going to say before I left the car. What point could I make that would meet his heart? We had obviously made some connections, but what was I going to say? And as my mind is racing, he says, "But you know, police have always had a hard time with black folks, so I guess we got a lot of work to do before we get to say that honestly." And I sighed a bit of relief. And I said, "You know, I couldn't have said it any better myself." And as we pulled into the parking lot, he said, "You know, I always liked those Unitarians. My parents used to go to the Sacramento church, but that was way back when." And I marveled at the fact that my parents go to the Sacramento church, so that's something else we have in common. And he laughed a raspy smoker's laugh, and we wished each other well and went off on our own ways. The two of us, similar in some ways and different in others, on paths that overlap for just mere moments, with our histories, our biases, and our prejudices, our hopes and dreams, our regrets and failures, finding common ground and growing a little bit in the process. Here's another story. A few months ago, I received an email from a young woman who was interested in our campus meetings. I told her when and where we met and a little bit of what she should expect when she got there. She wrote back to say that she was looking forward to visiting but was a bit nervous. She had grown up in a conservative Mormon family, and when she came out as queer, she met a lot of resistance from her family, from her ward, and her community. She had turned away from the church and never looked back. But now she felt like maybe she could reach out to a new religious community. She felt like she had a lot of healing to do, and maybe a different kind of church would do the trick. So I wrote back thanking her for her story and welcomed her to come and visit anytime, or if she'd rather, we could just meet for coffee and chat. She came to a Thursday night meeting, and she participated well, telling her story, asking good questions. She stuck around after worship to chat a bit, asking to keep her on our mailing list for the time being. She wound up coming back for one more event before writing to me saying, I'm sorry, I don't think this is working. It's just too hard. I'm really sorry, but I don't think I will be coming back. And so I wrote back to say thank you and wished her luck on her journey. But just last week, as is often the case in Davis, I ran into her at the library. She had a big smile and waved enthusiastically to me. She says to me, "Alex, I finally decided to get out of town. I got a new job and I'm moving away, but I'm really glad I ran into you. I just wanted to thank you. Thank you for all you have done for me. These past few months have been really healing and I really appreciate it." I thanked her and wished her good travels. Now, I feel like I can't take much credit for that one, but there's something miraculous that happened. I believe that in coming to visit with us, this young woman saw something life-saving, that another world is possible, that church doesn't have to hurt, and there are people in this world who will love you in all your brokenness and complexity, even if it's just for an hour. These are just two of the countless stories I have from serving as your intern minister this year. Stories of love, of heartbreak, of justice and healing. I have sat with you in times of sorrow, and I have celebrated with you in times of joy. I have accompanied you in times of discernment and struggle, and I have witnessed new life, and I have been witness to the end of life. I am so grateful to have been part of your community, to have served as your minister. According to the most recent Pew survey on the American religious landscape, Unitarian Universalists represent just 0.3% of all Americans. So if you gather up 100 people, we're a third of a person. Some of us were born into this faith, and many of us came to this religion later in life, maybe after leaving an original faith community or were possibly raised unchurched. Sometimes I feel like being out here on the edge of town, hidden among the almonds and the pines, seems like an apt metaphor. Not many people know we're out here, but they find us when they're looking. And as I often say, there are no shortage of activities vying for our attention. But when people come to church on a Sunday morning or on a Thursday evening or approach us at a rally, at a Pride March or another community event, it's because they are looking for something. They are looking for something larger than themselves. They are looking for answers to questions they don't even know how to ask yet. They are looking for human connection and welcome. And, you know, we owe it to them to be here when they need us. I'll be the first to admit being Unitarian Universalist is not the easiest religious identity to have. Like other religious minorities, we are often working against the stream of what Americans expect religion to be. Our name is funny and complicated. Our faith is sometimes difficult to explain in a compelling way.
for good or for bad, we're just Christian enough to feel familiar, but just different enough to seem strange or unusual. And like any human institution, we have our shortcomings. And yet we are aspirational. And so that means it is inevitable that we will fail from time to time. As Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt points out, we have an outsized power and influence in American society. And as a result, we have an outsized responsibility. We call on ourselves to love the hell out of this world, which means we are sometimes required to exorcise our own demons, to root out and reveal our own prejudices, our own biases, and examine them and unlearn them. Not an easy task. It is a complicated balance we strike. I am reminded of a quote attributed to E.B. White. White wrote, quote, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to save the world and to savor the world. That makes it hard to plan the day." That's E.B. White. To savor or to save? In some ways, I think this is the grounding struggle of our chosen faith. Of course, the world is worth saving because it is worth savoring. And when we arise and choose what is worth caring for, we are making a value judgment of what is important in this world. Justice, equity, compassion, peace, caring for the world and each other. This is the premise of our church community. What you do with your one life matters. When the Unitarians and the Universalists first merged in 1961, it was a marriage of convenience. The two faiths, liberal and free, had different theologies. The difference was best summed up by a quote credited to Reverend Thomas Starking, in which he said, quote, "The one thinks God is too good to damn them forever, and the other thinks they're too good to be damned by God forever." Although their differences were real, both churches considered joining their efforts together to spread liberal religion, a noble and worthwhile goal. After the merger, the two groups found that cooperation was not as easy as expected. It was difficult to reconcile the two churches' polities and practices. And I gotta admit, 50 years later, it's still difficult. Without a singular unifying theology, a dogma, or a creed, we often have to agree to disagree. Or better yet, to assume good intent and to appreciate differences. But after nearly six decades of struggle, compromise, and paving our own way, the promise of Unitarian Universalism remains. We all do better when we do it together. Or to put it another way, you don't have to do it alone. When I look back at all we have accomplished this year, I am proud. From social events to social justice, from tending to our young to caring for our elders, from long meetings to short greetings, from apologizing for mistakes and forgiving our hurts, none of these things can happen alone. Together we have stretched and grown. We have had serious conversations and silly times together. We have explored this weird, complicated, challenging, life-affirming faith community together. And we have reaffirmed the premise of this church that what we do with our lives matter. And the promise of this faith that none of us have to do it alone. That is the premise and promise of our church, that what you do with your lives matter and you don't have to do it alone. The premise and promise of our church is found in a car ride with an old cowboy who thinks about black lives. It's found in the hope of a betrayed and hurt young adult working to mend a broken heart. It's found in worship and in the bridge house. It's found in the library and in the streets. It's found over coffee and over budget reports. It's found in the embrace of old friends and the nerves of someone coming to church for the very first time. It's found in you. It's found in me. It's found in us. So, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for this opportunity you have given me, for the confidence you have put in me, for the grace you have afforded me, for the ways that we have learned together, for the ways that our faith we have in each other has grown and deepened. I am grateful for all of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, friends, let us pray. Let us join in a moment of stillness where we lift up our hearts and minds for those things that matter. Spirit of love, life, and justice, you who go by many names, we acknowledge the way that you have pulled us together. We are grateful for the turning of the earth, for the hot days and cool breezes, for the solstice which comes, which reminds us that in this time of light and plenty, to pause in gratitude. We lift up our friends and colleagues who are traveling to Spokane, Washington this week for the UUA's General Assembly. May their travels be safe and easy. And we give thanks as they do the work of our larger faith. We lift up all the caretakers in our lives who show us ways of nurturing. That strong arms are for hugging and for stories and songs, for hot meals, for all the different ways you have nurtured, we give thanks to fathers and dads and uncles and grandfathers and stepdads and family friends. And we pray for all those who are separated or estranged from father figures, reminding that we can find nurturing in many different forms. We pray for those at the border, those who are seeking a new life, for the families who are trying to just get free from violence and are finding more violence at the border. and we give thanks for the justice seekers who have traveled to the border to bring comfort and aid. We celebrate Juneteenth, the celebration of the end of slavery, and a reminder that even now, the fight is not done, that justice must still be earned. And we give thanks for our elders and our youth, those who have shown the way and those that teach us that a new way is possible. And we lift up the struggle of both peacemakers and those in poor health. May their struggle be supported. Now, friends, let us please share in a moment of stillness and silence while we lift up our own prayers we have brought today. For all these prayers spoken and those that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, for the people, places, and events that weave us together in a tapestry of love we call community, we say thanks. Amen. Blessed be, and Ashe.
So how is it that you know it's your time to stand here? Is it because it says internship transition? How could that be?
Actually, I'm going to start by adding another invitation to community because we have lunch to celebrate the end of Alex's internship, and you are all welcome, and please join us.
Is there cake?
I don't know if there's cake. I delegated.
I will still go.
The Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis is proud of its role as a teaching congregation. I affirm that this congregation knows how to love interns into ministry. We expect the interns to grow into their potential, and we know that each person's potential is different, just as it is for each of us. We ask interns to discover the edges of their ability, to know failure as well as success. There are a few times in life when we are encouraged to fail. We want to be a place that it is safe to discover who a person might become in the very large calling of ministry. We are willing to risk our hearts breaking. We love our interns. And although each love is different, we give ourselves to each intern who comes to us. We learn to speak the truth in love, and in the process, practice the skill of doing so with each other. And I would like to thank this congregation for making my job as part of the internship committee easier. With all that you have done this year with turning Alex into a minister. And Alex, as much as we have pushed you into being a minister, I'd like to thank you for helping me learn and grow this year as well.
So, Alex, then you get to come and be with me out in front of this pulpit. And we do have a handheld, so I'm going to give this to you to just hang on to for a minute because you get to respond, as is true with internships. In our supervision, we each get a say. So I just want to kind of look you in the eye and say, it is true. You know, if someone doesn't fail at something here, we think we have missed the mark. So in the first potluck when we meet the intern, I always do a prayer to begin the potluck, and I tell the intern, I expect you will fail. And, you know, that makes them a little nervous at first. Until I explain. But really, we have to find our edges, and this is the safe place. I said that to you, and I remember your expression. So you have given so much to this congregation, and you have learned, too. You brought the ability to connect with others, and we have watched that happen in so many formal and informal settings. You have brought your passion for justice through Blue Box, through your work with us on immigration justice, through your learning about the budget and seeing the budget as an instrument of justice as well. And I thank you for all of that. You have also brought your ability to tell stories and your theology through the stories. And that has happened in the pulpit, as we saw today, and also with our youngest children. I think there was something about a closet and a monster in the closet going like, and it was amazing. You have searched for your gifts within the call of ministry for you, and I have witnessed that ebb and flow and shift and centering. You tested ideas both from successes and from failures, and not everyone can learn from their failures, but you can, and it will serve you well to be able to do both. And so I ask you, what have you learned?
I learned quite a bit about where my growing edges are, what I need to do to be accountable to you as my community, as a community, to be accountable to my own family and to myself. I've learned the power of grace as people have met me in my shortcomings and held my hand and accompanied me as I stretched and learned and grew. I was reminded of the power of love to save lives and change the world for the better. I gained a few gray hairs in my beard. And I learned that in life and in death, in new relationships, that love comes first. Love comes first.
Thank you. You're not. Don't go away. When we do wedding ceremonies, and it's a smaller group, people will take the wedding rings, all the guests, and have them in their hands, and for 1, 2, 3 breaths, they will place, hold, and place a wish on those rings, and they go around the group, and then they're given back to the minister and the couple who are making their commitment, filled with blessings and wishes for that couple. It's a beautiful ritual, and the poor pianist just about works their fingers to the bone playing music as all that happens. We're not going to do that today, Andre, you're happy to know. But I ask that you hold in your heart just for a minute a wish that you have for Alex. And when I ring this chime, I'm going to invite you just to open your hands and send it to him. So hold on to those wishes, incubate them for just a little bit, warm them, imagine them well. And when I ring the chime, open your hearts and open your hands and send those to him. Your heart should be full and warm. And we transition you from internship into being our ministerial presence for this summer. Morgan and I both thank you for this warmly. And now you are one more step toward professional ministry. And we are so happy to have been on that journey with you. So, thank you. And so we extinguish, why not, these pillar candles for the sorrows, oh, may they be lighter, and the joys, may they sparkle more brilliantly. And we take what we have learned from today with us as this chalice is extinguished. And we end by singing, come and go with me, and we will go right into the social hall. We will need our AV, our microphones, in the social hall, because we will continue with a very short ceremony there for Alex.
Friends, please stay standing. If you're standing, please reach out and grab a hand, touch a shoulder, make some contact, some human contact. That's what we're all about here, is human contact. Remember that you have one precious life, and what you do with it matters. And you don't have to do it alone. That is the premise and the promise of our faith. What you do matters, and you don't have to do it alone. Friends, our worship has ended, but our service has just begun. Let the people say amen.